Hello and welcome to Connectivity episode 297. I am your host, Alexander Freitas. John and Neil aren't here, and they didn't really say why, so I imagine that John is probably like playing Winback or something, or defending the honor of the Nintendo Switch Online and 64 emulation. And Neil's probably like having another kid, I don't know. But I'm joined here with Xander Morningstar.
I'm free!
Yes, recently free of Dr. Mario World. How's it feel?
It's good. I'm literally on a vacation now.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm here with Matt Zawadniak.
That's me. And thank you for defending my honor during the N64 discussion. As John was saying such crazy things that seem to imply that he thinks CRT filters are just scan lines.
You know, the one thing that I don't know is whether or not CRT filters are useful depending on, like, the resolution. Like, he made it seem like 240p, it would be great, but 720, not so much.
So this is an area where I strongly disagree with John, where he has given me the impression that he considers the bump in resolution to be an inherent positive. And I don't necessarily agree that it is inherently a good thing. Some games do look better with higher resolutions, but sometimes it does not shake out that way. So that's a big part of like where me and him disagree. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just misinterpreting the things that he's saying. But I think that Nintendo 64 games kind of don't look great at higher resolutions, partially because of how the Nintendo 64 handles texture filtering. It's because there's just no way to make those textures look good at high resolutions.
Yeah.
Okay, my question is, so I played Banjo-Kazooie, the Xbox Live version, with my brother recently, and I've also played the N64 version, and they looked identical. Except, you know, the Xbox Live one is, what, an HD or 720? It's cleaner image, so I didn't see any of that texture stuff. I think when you're talking about like how like it stitches together and it looks really weak and it's like the seams and stuff.
No, it's more that textures on Nintendo 64 games just look like these big hazy smears.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you think have you played that version? Do you think do you have the same opinion of that game compared to like what they're doing with the N64 stuff on the Switch?
I think that that's not a like easy thing to answer because the Xbox versions of Banjo have something that the Nintendo 64 versions don't, which is a stable frame rate. That is significantly better on Xbox.
Yeah.
But I do think that I prefer how Banjo-Kazooie looks better in its original display at low resolution on a good CRT. And obviously good CRTs are not easy to come by nowadays, so a good CRT filter can get the job done. And there's a lot more that goes into CRT filters than just scan lines. There's concepts like color bleed, where because of the way that CRTs worked, like the colors of individual pixels would kind of bleed together a bit. There is gaps between pixels. There's image flickering, stuff that these games were designed to be displayed on that I think generally they look better as close to that original experience as possible. So N64 games don't look quite as impressive in higher resolution because of stuff like that. And I think the textures are a big part of it because there's just, I messed around with so many emulator settings trying to get something that looked good in HD, and there's just, you can't.
Uh-huh.
So, and that's why also when we get to GameCube games, that argument starts to get a little different because GameCube games, their textures hold up a little better, not perfectly, but a lot better than N64 textures higher resolutions. So it's a lot more complicated than just saying it's about pixel art, I think.
Yeah, we got, you know, Mario Sunshine, Luigi's Mansion, they still look great. A lot of people prefer Wind Waker on the GameCube artistically compared to what they did with the Wii U one. That's
Rogue Leader,
a bit of a different story, but yeah.
So
many of them look great.
And the most important thing is that I get to say all of this about John when he's not here to defend himself.
Yes.
Yeah, he'll just have to play the Xbox Live version of Banjo and get to... He clicks the music notes easier than you will, but you get to enjoy how it looks.
So, yeah, there's it's complicated. I think that there's really no easy answer to stuff like this, because sometimes you just want to say nothing's going to beat the original experience, and then something like Banjo comes out where, okay, this runs way better on Xbox, so you should absolutely play it on Xbox, but then there's no way to get the original look. So
yeah,
I guess the one we're getting on the Switch is like, it's neither of them, right? It's going to be
we don't know.
It's probably not going to be the Xbox version.
No, it's going to be like the worst of every world.
I was going to say it's the worst of both worlds. It's the N64 game, and it doesn't have the benefits of the Xbox version.
Yeah, and you're going to have to collect the notes as a high score instead of a collectible.
That's amazing. I didn't think about that, but that's
going to have a bad frame rate. It's going to have high resolution that makes the textures look bad.
What a sick sense of humor. Poor Banjo.
But it will be portable.
You can enjoy it anywhere.
You know what else is portable? xCloud, where you can currently play the Xbox version of Banjo-Kazooie.
You know, I was going to make the argument that you couldn't, like, get an N64 built into a CRT, a portable CRT screen, but, yeah, I didn't take into account xCloud existing.
Also, someone's totally done that.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's true. Yes. Some modders probably absolutely done that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that stinks.
But we should probably move on from my proxy war with John.
Yeah, let's talk about Pikmin Bloom, of which there can be no violent thoughts at all. It's such a peaceful, nice... Is it even a game?
If you played a Pikmin game, it's one of the most violent, disturbing lores of the Nintendo pantheon. Some really messed up stuff happens in that series.
Well, I imagine that Pikmin Bloom is our Earth before the apocalypse.
Yeah, that's results what I've been in the Pikmin games. In the Slack is that where does Pikmin Bloom fit in the fairly well established timeline of the Pikmin games?
And they really don't go into it at all.
I know.
They go into the lore roughly as much as they go into how to play the game.
No, I think it's just like. The story is so clean for 1, 2, and 3, and then there's the 3DS game, which makes apparently no sense. I haven't played that one, but last time it was explained to me, it didn't make sense. But this one apparently is a prequel, in that we are the ones walking around, distributing the flowers that will then become the wildlife that becomes the Pikmin planet that we eventually know and love. Have you guys been playing it?
I have not.
I gave up on this so quick. I downloaded it when it first released. And last week I was on vacation at Disney World, which where better to play a Niantic game than Disney World? Mm-hmm. So I downloaded it, and I don't know if I just didn't get far enough to the point where there was a game to play. But from what I was seeing, there was nothing. I had effectively just downloaded a battery drain for my phone.
Yep.
So what I ended up doing was I was like, you know what? I might as well re-download Pokemon Go. So the biggest thing that this game got me to do was to start playing Pokemon Go again.
Yeah.
You know, that's a success for Niantic, because, I mean,
they're going to make more money off of you on Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. They'll probably stick to Pokemon Go longer anyway.
Just shut down that Harry Potter game.
Oh, did they really?
Yep. And they haven't shut down Ingress or anything, but let's be honest, Ingress was never really that big a success. So
at this rate, I do not see Pikmin Blue. The game, if you want to call it that, did just come out, and so they haven't really done much when it comes to any of the community stuff. They've said that they're going to do big events, but as it stands right now, it is what it is. I still am not certain I see this being a success. And I don't even mean a success like Pokemon Go. I just mean this is a game we're going to keep coming back to for years and years. It's not even a game right now, at least in my experience. I've been playing it every day since it came out. And it's more of just like a health journal that doesn't connect to anything else on your phone other than, like, I think the health app, but it's really just about your steps and where they're tracking you are, you're at in the world. Like, it doesn't connect to, like, any of your nutrition apps or any of your other workout apps, which is a shame.
Yeah, and that's the weird part about it to me, where it's like, I'm not against the idea of a game for fitness and stuff, but the way that it works is by connecting to the better fitness app that's already on my phone.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's because there's really no game to it, I don't really feel incentivized to do anything in it.
Like, this makes more sense as like a Ring Fit companion than a Pikmin game.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what it's built around, and like, it doesn't really gamify walking other than, I don't know, you tell me, is there anything actually happening other than Pikmin sprouting up and following you and planting flowers?
So what the cycle of it is you get a Pikmin, and then you occasionally you'll get other Pikmin that you can like plant, like you get like their seedling, and then you walk around, and after you hit like a certain number of steps, then they will be ready to, I don't know, be born. you pluck them, and yeah. Then they start following you around, and as you like walk around, then you hit little milestones, and you get nectar, which is what you feed the Pikmin, and when you feed the Pikmin nectar, then you get flower petals, and then you use the flower petals when you're actively so you can just walk around and it'll track your steps whenever, but like, you have to actually choose when you're going to like intentionally start planting flowers. You can't just do that whenever you're walking. So when you go into flower planting mode, you use the flower petals to plant flowers around wherever you're walking, which I'm no scientist, but I got past second grade geology, not geology, but anyway, you're planting flowers using flower petals, and that's not how that works, but yeah. Anyway, I don't know if Niantic knows that, but I'm just gonna give them the benefit of the doubt. Anyway, so you're planting flowers, and then I think the whole incentive is that you're supposed to plant flowers and uncover this map that is pretty much just Google Earth, except it's covered in fog. There are these like spots in the world that are very much like the Pokemon stops that from Pokemon Go, where you go and when you're walking and planting flowers within like the radius of their origin, they slowly start to bloom after every flower that's distributed or planted there. And eventually they will blossom into a big, pretty flower, and they don't do anything to my knowledge. I've like blossomed, I think, two of them now, and it's the same thing. It just tells me like, okay, this is like this art piece, or it's this church or whatever, and then it's just a pretty flower. So really what my experience has been is at the end of every day at 9 o'clock, they will say, you walked this number of steps today, here's a little journal entry, and it will connect to your photos if you want, and the Pikmin will pick out like a random photo. So like I said, it's more of like a health journal, and that it like, keeps track of your steps, and then you can do a journal entry in there if you want, or a picture. There really isn't much of a game in it. Some people I've seen on Twitter say that they've gotten coins. I have not gotten a single coin yet, and I've been playing it every day, so I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I guess I'm not walking enough, but oh well. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really think it's a game yet, and if it is one, then I'm missing that aspect of it.
So how are they monetizing it?
Yeah, they are monetizing it. I actually bought the starter pack because I was recording it and wondering, like, well, this, like...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
You made it all that time without a single penny in Dr. Mario, and then Pikmin gets you day one.
Yeah, I know. I didn't spend a dime on Dr. Mario. Well, that's the thing, though. Had I known, I probably would have done something super cheap in Dr. Mario, because that would have helped me so much more. Because they said when they announced the closure of that app, that you would get unlimited stamina as long as you had made a single purchase before they announced the closure of the app. And I had not done that. So I got it done early, day one. I've paid my $2.99. That's it. I'm not doing anything else for this dumb game. But if they say that there is a game coming to it, I'm locked and loaded for whatever that is. But as it stands, I haven't been doing much other than just adding journal entries and pictures. I'm trying to have fun with it. Like, I actually do try to take, like, I have, like, the Pikmin amiibo, and I've been, like, kind of creating little sets around my apartment. to take pictures in, just to kind of make it fun. But I'm on like day five or six now, and I'm kind of like, is there anything else to this, or is it just going to be like this quick 5 minute little thing every night? Because if they're not going to add much else, like I don't know if I want to keep using this even leisurely, because there's nothing else to it. It's just like I said, I have other workout apps and nutrition apps that I track my personal health data on. I love Pikmin, but like this is not.
Yeah, none of those apps have purple Pikmin.
It's true, but like I don't view this as something supplemental that's beneficial for me.
Right.
Even though I love Pikmin, it's just like this just seems like a time waster.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, that's Pikmin Bloom.
It seems like it's just for users to harvest Pikmin while Niantic harvests your data.
Pretty much.
it's a literal harvest because it's Pikmin.
Yeah.
I feel like Niantic is really just going to be a one-hit wonder around Pokemon Go. I think that, like, there's just nothing in Pikmin Bloom that has the hook of Pokemon Go of like real life Pokemon training. Right. Ingress was kind of cool when they released it, because it, like, the idea of a geolocation game like that was totally new. No one had done it before, so it had that novelty. Pokemon Go was just Ingress again, but it was Pokemon, so it was crazy popular. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot that the Harry Potter game even released.
Yeah, and it's dead now, apparently. So that's... it came and went, and I didn't even know about it. That's crazy. And it wouldn't surprise me if... I didn't play the Harry Potter game, but surely that had a game to it, right? Because that seems like it would be more social than what this game is. Like, this game, there's a friends list, but there's literally nothing to do other than send postcards to one another. Even in Pokemon Go, you can do that, but, like, all of the postcards have gifts attached to them, whereas this one, you're just... Hey, Neil, here's a Pentecostal church that I walked by. Like, that's kind of it, you know? It's like, okay, cool. Like, I don't think he cares, and I don't really care about where he's at. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think Pikmin Bloom is taking off particularly well either. Because, like, I look at, like, the subreddits for it to try to get a gauge on how many people are playing it. And there's two of them, so it's like it's kind of a split community, but they add up to around 4,000 people, which is like not even half of the number of subscribers to r/winter waifus, a subreddit exclusively for pictures of anime girls in winter gear.
Oh no.
Like, for another point of comparison, how much do you think Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl took off? Do you guys think that set the world on fire?
No, but it surely did more than this.
It's got four times as many subscribers as Pikmin Bloom.
Oh, man. Oh,
so that's the bar we're working with here.
I guess my question is, like, who came to who with the idea? Was it Niantic pitching Pikmin to Bloom to Nintendo, or Nintendo being like, we want the same success as Pokemon Go. Here's Pikmin. It kind of sounds like Pokemon. Can you do something with it?
This feels like Miyamoto walked into the room, said, what if you gardened Pikmin in real life?
Yep.
And then he walked out of the room.
I think it was better yet. I think it was like an elevator. Like he walked into the elevator, made his pitch, and then walked out before the doors even closed. Like, he didn't actually ride the elevator.
What if you gardened Pikmin walks out?
Yeah.
It feels very much like... It feels a lot like the Metroid Prime story, where Miyamoto's just like, what if you could change Samus's heads? And then he just left. and that was the entire statement.
It's the Donkey Kong Country Returns. What if he could blow on the flowers? And then that was a move. Cool. It's it. Awesome.
It's like Stan Lee mentioning that it's weird that Iron Man doesn't have a nose, and then they added a nose.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I watched, there's one Miyamoto story that I've heard, and I'm sad that, like, I've never heard a Miyamoto story like this again, where it was the development of Donkey Kong 64, where originally the coconut gun was a realistic shotgun. And so they're showing the game to Miyamoto, and he sees that, and, like, you see his face, like, his face just, like, the life drains out of him, and immediately he grabs a pen and paper and draws the coconut gun and hands it to Rare Impulse.
Do this. I can understand that.
That's actually an upgrade, though.
That's like,
yeah,
a defense.
No, I agree. I think that's the best. That's the best Miyamoto came in and made a decision story I've ever heard, because it's clear what he did and why. It's not like, oh, Mario Galaxy had too much story.
Yeah. Well, it's like, okay, so like when Pokemon Go came out, you know, honestly, it's not the game it is now. It was similar to this, actually, in that there was not a lot to do, aside from all the horrible login glitches and not saving progress. And because when that game came out, it was kind of a nightmare, just because of how big it was. But you could still see where they could take it, you know, and then that they ended up doing all of that. You know, they added the battling, they added the trading, they improved the
raids. They
made
a lot of improvements to that game over the years. Like, I loaded it up and it was unrecognizable to some extent.
Yeah, I agree. I've been on there a few times and I'm actually kind of overwhelmed because there's just so much. There's not really a story mode, but there are missions for you to complete that have some flavor text to them. And like, there are lots of goals. There's a Team Rocket group that has its own little like achievement system. There's stuff for you to do and you can see that gamification. And a lot of it also has a social experience. Whereas with this one, I don't see where like the next step is that could be anything like that. The only thing they've really got going, aside from you planting flowers and having that journal, is that there is like this thing where you can send the Pikmin out onto expeditions. And really what that is like, okay, there's a lemon. I'll give you an example. Like, I drove over to a town like 2 hours away recently. And while I was there, you know, my phone knew I was there. I come back to my apartment later that night and I get onto Pikmin Bloom and it said, oh, there's a lemon and an apple over in that town you visited today. Do you want to send your Pikmin out on an expedition? And I say, sure. So I do like I pick two a Pikmin, even though it only needs one, because you know you can always send double the amount that's needed. And so it's like, okay, it's going to take them 18 hours to get over there and get back. And I wave goodbye, and then they just start running away off of the map. And then I wake up today, and they've now brought me an apple or whatever it was. And like
what do you do with that apple? Like, what's the
apple
point?
Just turns into nectar, and the cycle continues. There's no like, what do you call it, appendix or index of like fruit or collectibles. There is a thing where if you send out enough Pikmin over so many times, like their friendship level will go up, and once they hit 4, they will come back and they'll give you a souvenir from where they were born. And so I've only had this happen once, and it was like the very first Pikmin I got. And pretty much, hey, there's a gift waiting for you. Do you want to send this Pikmin out on an expedition? And so I say, sure. It goes out. It comes back in a minute, and it's carrying a little present box. And when it opens up, it gives me some nectar. And then there's also a costume in it. And now that Pikmin is wearing the costume, and it's cute. But that's it. Like, there's nothing else to do with it. It's just now that Pikmin is wearing a cosmetic. I don't think it's any, like, there's no stat system to it, so I'm not sure if this Pikmin is now like better at getting things back to me more efficiently. I don't know.
I don't think Niantic gets Pikmin, because it's like, I saw, like, I plucked my first Pikmin and I was like, do you want to give this Pikmin a name? And I'm like, why would you ever want to do that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, why? Like, I know people do that, but it's more out of like being funny, because like,
this is a disposable soldier who I'm going to send to die.
Right, yeah. And I don't think in the entire time of this game being out, I don't think we're ever going to hear that little meow, you know, when they die. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think these Pikmin are here to stay. I don't think you can get rid of them.
It's also weird that, like, I associate the idea of the Pikmin with large groups of them, and that's really not what's going on here.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like Pikmin.
It's like, it's that stage of a Pikmin game where you're just kind of growing your army and then that's it. Like, it never stops. You never actually go do anything with that army. You're just constantly making it bigger and bigger. I read on the website, there are these like mushrooms that eventually you'll get to, which I think might be like the gyms of the game. And as far as I can tell, it's the exact same thing. You just send the Pikmin out on an expedition to fight the mushroom, and then they just bring you back more nectar or more flower petals just to continue to plant flowers while you're walking.
Are you telling me they don't fight Bulborbs at all?
I haven't seen a single Bulborb. I haven't seen a single enemy. I think Pikmin is the only creature that has showed up in this entire game. Pikmin and fruit.
How unfortunate.
Yeah, and my me, who is a creature on its own, let's be honest. Yeah, but I don't know. I hope that they add more stuff to it. I just, like I said, I don't know what you can, like, what's the next step that's obvious? There really isn't one to me. If they're going to lean it.
Combat, I guess, but then it's just Pokemon Go again.
Yeah. You can't even fling the Pikmin. You know, when they said they were going to do, Niantic was doing a Pikmin game, I'm like, oh, that'll be fun. You can flick the Pokemon, the Pikmin, just like, yeah, you throw the Pokeball, and that's
that makes a lot of sense, actually. Why didn't they do that?
I don't know. It's not in there at all. Like, if you're going to do, like, a gym battle, fine. Maybe there's a giant Bulborb, and you flick your Pikmin, and, like, that's the progress of the game, right? You walk, you grow the Pikmin, and then the higher friendship level they have, the stronger they are, and then you flick the Pikmin. You say your goodbyes as you flick the Pikmin at the Bulborb.
Flicking on a touch screen to throw a Pikmin actually sounds like it would work.
Yeah.
And it's like, why isn't it here? There's nothing here.
I don't know. That seems like the most obvious thing to me, but it's I don't know why they didn't do that. Instead, you throw the little nectar. You don't even have to do that. You can just, like, hover it over them, and then they'll just pick up and grab it. It just seems to be like, let's make Pikmin cute. Like, that's Nintendo's cute series, right? We'll just take all the little, like, it's like the Minions, right? We'll just take all the characters and dress them up, and it'll be cute. And it's like, that's not really what Pikmin is. Mm-hmm. You can do that, but, like, there's got to be Pikmin's, like, a little more hardcore than that. It's a strategy game.
Oh, man, this is dire. So I downloaded the app just to look at my local park, where there's, like, a ton of Pokestops and everything, to see, like, the flowers people had planted by walking over it. Nothing.
It's a desert over there. Yeah, that's how my street is.
Literally not a single flower.
Mm-hmm. I work at a children's hospital, and it's a desert. You know, it's like, okay,
it's really funny. If I look around, I can see, like, a couple places where there's, like, some flowers over someone's house where they clearly downloaded the game out of curiosity but never got as far as the local park where everyone plays Pokemon Go.
Yep, that's exactly my situation. I live next to a high school. There's a big park right by me. You know, there's kids out there playing baseball every day, and there's a big swing set and a walking area, and nothing. I'm the only person who has laid down any flowers. And I know you're able to see other people who put down flowers, because I have seen them, but it's very rare. I don't want this game to fail. Like I said, I like Pikmin. I think that there can be a cool thing you can do with this. It's just, it seems like they're right now, they have nothing really to show other than just you walk and journal. Maybe that's, like, what they're trying to get people to do, just to kind of hold themselves over and buy themselves time. But I don't know why you would spend money on this game. Like, I say what I said earlier, cause I was joking about it, but, like, really, like, there really is no, like, incentive to buy anything. Like, I don't think there's a temptation for anyone, like, oh man, I better get this pack because it'll get me closer to doing this. Like, no, there's no temptation at all, because there's no real goal to it. You just play it, and that's it. But anyway, that's Pikmin. We think we've spent our time with that.
You know, they would be able to change everything if, like, the Pikmin were, you know, mining on the blockchain. You get Pikmin NFTs.
Oh man,
how dare you speak to me.
That's the way you save Pikmin Bloom.
Yeah,
by getting it banned from Steam.
Yeah. Exactly, but not from Epic Game Store.
NFTs are a pyramid scam, I should say, in case anyone is confused. That's all they are. They're a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, and maybe like in a month or two, once they've had these community events, it'll be worth talking about again, because, like, if they're calling it a community event, surely that means something that is, like, multiple. There is an option to walk with each other and plant flowers together, and I think what that means is, like, hey, you're just meeting up with a friend, you're gonna walk together, why not also be doing this? So that'll be cute. But like I said, there's no trading or battle. Like, I don't foresee this being like Pokemon. I don't really ever want Pokemon and Pikmin to be, like, the same concept where you're, like, trading and battling them. That's if you're ever going to battle Pikmin, it's usually in Bingo Battle, and that's kind of it. But it's weird.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate, but thanks for sharing, since I've had no experience with this game. I was too busy playing what we're going to be talking about next, Mario Party Superstars. And I've been playing a whole lot of this game, which just released last week. I think I've clocked in over 10 hours, according to my profile.
Wow.
Which is quite a bit. This is not what I was expecting from a Mario Party game. I've been enjoying even just online play with randoms. It has been fun. So I want to just kind of kick it back to you guys. What's been your experience with this game so far?
This is somehow the best online experience Nintendo has ever made.
I would agree with that, actually. It sounds like you're joking, but like for real, this is probably their best online game they've ever put out.
I don't know why this is the game they chose to make the one that was good, but they did. By God, it has host migration. You can rejoin games in progress. You can save an ongoing game and come
apparently
back to
it later.
Apparently
you can save 10 of them. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but I read that somewhere that apparently you can have up to 10 games saved in a queue.
Yeah, and if you disconnect from a game because your internet gets disrupted or whatever, and then you go, you're kicked back to the main menu, you go to play online, and then it says the game you were in is still going. Do you want to rejoin?
Yeah,
that's like it's amazing.
It's one of the most basic features in the world, but somehow this is the first Nintendo game that's ever done it.
Right, and it's just, well, you know, it's Mario Party, so I think the bar has been low for a decade, and also it's Nintendo Online, so the bar was never there to begin with.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's like, it's catching myself, you, and really everyone off guard that it's like, wow, like, this, is this actually good? Holy cow.
Yeah.
Can we use this?
Like, Xander, you and me actually had experience playing Mario Golf just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And that was fucking terrible.
Yeah, we got to, hole 15, and then it kicked us out, and then we weren't able to rejoin.
And the entire time during a turn-based game, we had input delay, and we had frame rate issues because of the internet connectivity issues. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand how a turn-based game can have such bad input issues and connectivity issues like that. And then Mario Party over here, of all games, is like, okay, we're going to have some pretty good netcode that really only fails when you got a bad connection. And when you're in the turn-based section, doesn't matter anyway, because we're not going to give you stupid input delay when there's no reason to be synced up with other players.
Yeah. And also, I want to emphasize, we were playing turn-based. We weren't doing that, like, with the rush mode or whatever.
Oh, yeah. In Mario Golf, we were completely turn-based. There's nothing simultaneous going on.
It was so weird. Like, I would just sit there and watch and be like, wow, we're in slideshow mode now. I don't know, Matt. That's I'm happy. I love Mario Party. So for this is a when I got the game, I was like just kind of chilling in bed playing in handheld mode, and I had a party going with Alex here, and then it was pretty flawless, and it's very pleasant supplies.
Alex, you played a game with me and some of my friends, and right. I didn't realize until after that I was on Wi-Fi the whole time because I forgot to after when I got back from vacation I forgot to plug my Ethernet adapter back in. And I had no idea any other Nintendo game, you would have known that you were on Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I bought the game. I bought it day one, and I don't typically do that with Mario Party games. I haven't bought a Mario Party game in so many years. But I don't because I typically don't find myself having a group to play with all that often. And the only reason I picked this one up was because it had online and that we were going to, you know, we're doing a Mario Party group stream on Friday, actually the day that this releases. Blades will bleed. Blades will clash on Friday. First Friday of every month.
The inaugural edition of Mario Party Monthly. I think this is the first time we've talked about it publicly, actually.
On Twitter, I think we've announced it, right?
By the time the podcast releases, I'll have a thing on the site being like, hey, here's what we're doing on Friday.
But right.
We have not done that yet. But yeah, it's thank God that it could do that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was the thing is I got on the release date. I bought it. I got back home and my first thought is okay, I need to check the online. So I ask everybody in Slack and Xander and I hop on just to see if the online works. And I played it intentionally in portable mode and on Wi-Fi to stress it as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And it was fine for the most part. I think there's some hitches during a couple of the mini games. But other than that, it's nothing that I'd be worried about. And that to me was pretty great.
Like, we played Pushy Penguins, which seems like a very taxing game to play online. And, like, you could tell, like, okay, there's a little bit of lag, but it's, like, it was completely playable. Like, you could just tell, like, okay, this is not, like, 100% seamless. It's more like 98, because there's, like, just a little bit of stutter. But it worked fine. Like, I would absolutely say, like, that was fine.
And it's astonishing. Like, I don't want to just, like, obviously there's a whole ass Mario Party game there to talk about.
Yeah.
So, like, I can only spend so much time talking about the online infrastructure, but it's like, I don't, it feels like I've made the reference before when it comes to Nintendo's online, that, like, we shouldn't celebrate when they, like, get the basics right, because that's like, it reminds me of what my high school chemistry teacher said, where it's like, you're not going to get extra credit for doing all of your homework, because that's like the baseline of what you're supposed to be doing.
I agree. Right?
And that's kind of how I feel about Nintendo's online at this point.
Especially since we're paying for it.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, like, Mario Party online has, like, no compromises. Mm-hmm. There's, like, actually nothing that I can complain about it. And it's, I shouldn't be praising them for that. I shouldn't be praising them for finally doing the actual quality of standard of quality for this. But they met a standard of quality, which I cannot think of a single online game Nintendo has ever made where I didn't have a single complaint about the online.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same boat. Like, it's, I have no complaints. It's,
I guess it does have voice chat.
It does have voice chat, actually. It
Wait, for real?
With the Switch app, yeah.
Oh, well, I guess you have to use the Switch app, which is its own separate problem.
Well, yeah, because they couldn't, because it took them 4 years to let you use Bluetooth adapters.
I won't blame Mario Party headsets for that one. That's a bigger problem, but, like, right, it's there, you know?
Well, yeah, for the majority of the game's development, you couldn't use headsets on the Switch. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, by the way, people, like, when that got announced, like, people were, like, happy about it. They were like, oh, this is great, this is awesome. And my immediate reaction was like, wait, you could have done that at any time?
I love it. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Mario Party Superstars Online isn't, like, praiseworthy, but it is newsworthy that it works so well. So that's where I'm at with it.
I agree with that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the game itself is actually, it's super good. And something that was taken aback is just, like, it's not just a collection of N64 boards. It seems like a celebration of the entire series, minus the spinoffs. They don't really seem to count Mario Party Advance.
Yeah, get Mario Party DS in there. That one's the, of all the spin-off games, that one is the, that one's really good.
It's hilarious that Super Mario Party isn't canon.
It really is. Yeah.
Like I go to make my player card, and it's like, oh, what's your favorite Mario Party? And I just scroll through. It's like, wow, they've got all of them. All the way up. So we've got 8, 9, 10, and that's it. There are no more Mario Party games.
They stopped making them after 10.
I love it.
Like, it's,
forget about Island Tour.
Like, Super Mario Party just is not acknowledged at all in this game, which, like, it feels really petty for me to say this, but, like, I think that's part of why I think the game's so good. Not that I think the fact that they don't acknowledge it is good, but it means that, like, the mindset that they had was that they knew it really wasn't the Mario Party we wanted.
Yeah, and it's funny because I remember when I did not play Super Mario Party. I only watched it. I don't want to sound pretentious here, but I've played a lot of Mario Parties, and I consider myself a connoisseur of the of the party series. I'm just joking. But when they were talking about, like, oh, Mario Party is going back to its classic formula, like, we're getting rid of the car, I was kind of, like, watching it. I'm like, okay, you're in the right direction, but this does not seem to me like a return to what worked in the when the Hudson was making the series.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of kept my eyebrows raised, and then the game came out and people were still praising it and saying, Mario Party's back, Mario Party's back, it's great now. And I just was watching them, and I'm like, I don't see what you guys are seeing.
They're outside the car now. That's the big thing.
It's like, that's it, really? Like,
yeah.
It's like, the car was not the only issue.
They also did the bullshit with the dice blocks, where it's like, when I'm playing a Mario Party game, I just want to play the character that I like. But there's a tier list in Mario Party now. So, like, we're back to the era where the characters, gameplay wise, they're identical.
Right.
I like the idea of having different dice block, but like locking them to characters, I think was a very strange choice. And they did that first in one of the 3DS spinoffs, which they then, honestly, Super Mario Party is kind of a sequel to that game. It's just incorporating more of the elements from the older titles, but everything was grid based. It has like the Toad scramble mode where you like get the characters, the ally characters that you get their dice. It's like you have cool props here. And I like that you're doing that, but this is just not fitting into like what the series was already known for. Conversely, if I had to complain at all about this new one, and I really this is hardly a complaint, it's that it only relies on what we loved about it, which is great. I don't really want that to be a complaint, but like I'm just saying that it doesn't really try anything new, which is fine, because I think we've just kind of been starved for this kind of experience for so long.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it's like, wow, like now you don't really have any new ideas to like kind of share with what we finally have. Which, if they were to do a sequel, there's been rumblings of DLC coming to this game, which I'm all here for.
Yes, that would be nice. Some new boards would be great.
Some new boards would be really great. Would be pretty appreciated. But if they do a sequel, first off, I hope it's GameCube games. But also, they've set a bar for themselves now, and I do not think you can go underneath this bar ever again.
I agree.
Because people will not pick this up again. You have to meet this standard, if not better.
Yeah, we already have this game. We have to prove why we should pick up the next one.
Yeah, the way that I feel about this is that the idea of this is that it is the greatest hits of the entire Mario Party series, which once you say that, I'm like, I accept this. You don't have to do anything big and new. And in my opinion, the online mode is big and new. As someone that doesn't have a lot of local friends that play video games, and also for releasing in the COVID era, that's actually a very big deal. I think that is actually a huge step forward for the franchise.
Yeah. But
as the greatest hits collection of the franchise,
it delivers.
I feel like it does, but it delivers like a small amount.
It's just a small drop of in the bucket of what is possible.
Yeah, sure. Like my favorite Mario Party game is Mario Party 2, but it doesn't have like the two Mario Party 2 maps in this game. Are neither of them are my favorites. Like, there's no Western Land.
Knew it. I was going to say, are you a Western Land kind of party? Look,
you haven't lived until you have triggered the Hoot Nanny 5 turns in a row.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And like, Mario Party 3, I also like a lot. And there's only one map from Mario Party 3.
Yeah.
And it has the same general aesthetic as Horrorland, where it's like, it's a forest with the trees and stuff.
I imagine that I don't know what the DLC is going to be. I want it to be GameCube games. However, I imagine it's probably going to be more N64 boards, which is totally fine. You know, the N64 boards, you know, they're nostalgic for a lot of people, but like they deserve an upgrade. And so seeing the five that they've picked is great, but like any more of those would be awesome. I know a lot of people want more from 3.
They also didn't even have my favorite maps from 1. Like, yeah. they don't have the Wario's Battle Canyon.
Wario's Battle Canyon. That one is a. I don't know if they would pick that one again just because of the setting. I don't know if they would. It's like how I want Goomba's Greedy Gala to come back from Mario Party 4. It's like, oh, but it's a casino.
Oh my God,
like,
that's such a good map, though.
I know.
Oh my God. They legally can't do that one anymore, though.
I know. It's like, okay,
they'll
fine.
Be banned in Europe.
How about Goomba's Greedy. Not gala, like it's not a casino, it's a party, it's like a rave, you know, add some disco balls there.
So the way that I'm, this might be selfish of me to say, but I don't necessarily think it's unreasonable, I think that they should add GameCube maps yet, but we should also get more N64 maps on top of that. And the reason I don't think that's unreasonable to say is because you're not making new maps. You're just taking old maps and putting them through the Grezzo filter.
Right. Yeah, but we only got 5 this time, so it makes it seem like it was a lot of work just to get these.
I think the pandemic had something to do with that.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I don't want to
go down this rabbit hole because, you know, there are a lot of opinions on this, but like, it doesn't take that much. A Mario Party board, from like, I guess just a modeling and lighting standpoint, like you just need like a team of people to do it. Like, it's not like there's a lot going on them, but there are a lot of static things. I think that's why the N64 boards are probably more fun for them, because they're just flat images on those games, and they're bringing them to life. Whereas the GameCube ones, really 5 and onwards, are all 3D modeled. So they would just really be kind of prettying up something that's already out there. Whereas 4 is kind of like a in between the N64 and GameCube, in that like there are 3D models, except they're all existing on a track that's floating above a picture. So it's like, I guess you could still do both, but I guess if I were making the game, I think it would be more fun to make N64 games, but or N64 boards. But yeah, I do hope that they add the GameCube boards, even if those would be harder, just because I did a whole video on this. I don't want to be too redundant, but the GameCube boards have a lot of specific elements to them. And you could bring those boards back, but it might kind of compromise some of the fun parts of those boards that might not be. It would be like if you had Horrorland and like you didn't have the day and night cycle. It's like just kind of be scary all the time, which I guess maybe some people would prefer. But like, it's still like that's not like the board.
I think we really need Koopa's Seaside Soiree to come back, because
if they do that nowadays, one, they've got to fix that dumb monkey part with the banana peel.
Nowadays, it's more relevant than ever to have a map about investing in property in the era of climate change.
Wait, are you? Do you mean Koopa's Tycoon Town?
Mario Party 4, right? So,
well, that one is also about real estate.
I was going to say, there's two of them, actually.
Yeah, Seaside Soiree is like you put money into like the cabana that's supposed to be like...
So that's unintentional. That's capitalism, because you pay to spend the night.
And then a tidal wave comes through and destroys it. And you just lose everything to climate change.
It's amazing. It's capitalism and climate change, whereas a Tycoon Town is just capitalism.
Mm-hmm. The unfortunate thing is that Seaside Soiree would not have a Koopa in a Hawaiian shirt.
Says you.
I don't know.
Mario Style Guide. It says Miyamoto.
God, this game does suffer from the Mario Style Guide.
It sure does.
It does. It does.
I mean, it's not solely its problem. Like, it's just a problem across all Mario spinoffs. But Paper Mario and Mario Party especially both suffer the most, because I felt like those series tended to create their own characters, create their own vibes using like the Mario's minions. But
yeah, you can see them like, again, I don't know what that looks like, because I don't work for Nintendo. I don't make these games. So you can see them trying so hard to get up as close as they possibly can till they're told no. Like, they recreated the Mushroom Village that is just the menu for the first Mario Party in this new one, except they had to remove all of the funny looking Toad NPCs that were like in charge of each of the houses, and now it's just Bowser's minions.
Like,
they still kept the Koopa that's holding the flag, remember him? So it's like, I can see what they're trying to do, and I applaud them for that, but it's a shame that, like, I don't know. It's very superfluous. It's not that big of a deal, but like, it's that little extra stuff that you kind of like to see.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, whatever. It'd be weird to me if like they redid the Mario Party 5 thing, which has all the Paper Mario stars in it, and like, it was just Bowser's minions. Like, that would be really strange. It kind of fights against like the aesthetic of that game, but oh well.
Yeah, for me, it was really telling when I was playing with Matt and your friends, when we came across the was it the Thwomp or the...
Oh, the Womp, yeah.
The Womp. Yeah, the Womp didn't actually say anything. It was just being translated by the dialogue box. Mm-hmm. For you, like in a real N64 Mario Party game, the Womp would just say his own line.
Yeah. Or they removed the Game Guy spaces. If you played Mario Party 3, I think that one was. That's not on Woody Woods.
That's more gambling.
That's what I was going to say. Going back to not being able to put the game out in Europe, they had to remove the Game Guy space because of that. Which is,
yeah, that's not the Mario Style Guide. That's, they want to legally sell this game.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That would have been funny to see them try to get around that, but I guess the easier one was just to remove it entirely.
I would say that I am relatively confident that the problems that I have with this game, namely the low amounts of content, are that a bulk of its development was in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I feel like now we're on the upswing of that, where I'm not going to say the pandemic's coming to an end, but the like game development has adapted and we're back on track. Mm-hmm. So I think that we can get more out of this game. And I think that if they wanted to sell DLC for this, it would go pretty well. I mean, like, they added the online mode to Super Mario Party like 3 years later for whatever reason.
Yeah, those during the pandemic too. So it's cool that they did that, but that probably took away from this game as well.
I feel like this game is the reason that that happened.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know what their motivation for doing it was. Maybe that game didn't actually sell as well as they hoped, and they hoped that it would get more sales out of it or whatever. But I think that it would be successful if they wanted to sell DLC for this.
Yeah, they've never done Mario Party DLC to my knowledge. So what a better way to test it than this one, you know, especially with the such a big emphasis on online. And I think it's been a pretty big success so far. It's like always trending on Twitch and Twitter. And
yeah,
you know, it seems like people are playing this game right now. I have to imagine it's done well. It's certainly more visible to me now than when Super Mario Party came out.
Yeah, and a good thing. And since it is like this greatest hits of Mario Party, all you gotta do is make the old maps. You don't have to make anything new.
Yeah, I agree. You already
like, literally, we don't want something new. How much easier could this get?
Yes, just give me the old things again.
Yeah.
I hate saying that because I am someone that always wants something new, but it's like you've done so many new things that have been bad. Like at this point, just go back and give these old ones that spot in the spotlight. If they were to do a sequel, though, the only thing that I think it would get hard for them is that would they bring back all 100 of these selected mini games again? Because like they've got some of the best of the entire series in this one. It's like, would you then have to do a whole new like slew of them? Because for me, I would rather just have this be a platform where I just kind of keep buying new big updates to it. But I know that from a business perspective, it's usually better for them to make a new game entirely because DLC doesn't sell as well as the actual cartridge or whatever. Yeah,
new games make more money.
So it's a bit of a pickle.
Frankly, this is why there's no DLC for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Yeah.
Because they don't need it.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they add DLC to this one. But I don't know if it's kind of a good problem to have, I guess, because this seems to be like it's going to be a successful game.
Yeah, because I really do think that the online is such a substantial upgrade to Mario Party that I don't think this needs more content to be worth the dollars. I think as it is right now, this is a $60 Mario Party game that I'm totally comfortable in saying it's worth the $60.
Yeah, I would agree.
I really do think that adding the online is that big a deal, and the online works so well.
It's all that expansion pack money.
I guess
this is what you want Mario Party to be in just about every way. You know, it's got the online, it's got the boards you love, it's got the mini games you love. Like, what else do you want? You know, like, the entire time they have been marketing this game, I've been waiting for the boot to drop. Like, okay, what's the catch? You know, because I expect that from this series and many other games. Like, okay, what is the thing that you're not telling me that I'm actually going to hate and it's going to ruin it for me? And that has not happened. And I've played the game for hours and it's great. There are only 5 boards. Okay, fine. You know,
That's the biggest problem. Like, okay, whatever.
Fine.
It
you know
be
what?
A lot worse.
There are way worse things out there. You
there
know?
Are people who are complaining about the smaller roster, but the roster is like all the mainstays and they're animated so well that I'm not really bothered by it.
Yeah,
it's that kind of stuff. It's like, yes, I want more of that. I am a greedy gamer. I want as many Mario characters and as many boards in there, sure. But those are like so far on the bottom of my like, what problems could this game have that I'm just okay with it, you know? Like, it's fine. Like, of course, I would like more characters, but I'm just happy this is a good Mario Party. It's been so long.
I think we should talk about the weird like amounts of progression and achievements and things that this game keeps track of. Like, this game actually makes me want to come back to it just so I can unlock stuff. And the way that works is that as you play, you get coins depending on how well you do and how many stars that you get per game. And then there's multipliers and stuff like that. And you can spend those coins at like the Toad House, right? There's a shop. And yeah, you buy like encyclopedia entries and stickers. The stickers are fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, the stickers are great. It's been too long, and we have not mentioned those, but those I didn't think I'd actually use, but I'm using them all the time.
Yes, they're so good. And yeah. you can use them in like both like a completely earnest way, but also very sarcastic. Like there's one
lucky
that says
you.
Yeah, lucky you. I'll just spam lucky you or spam congrats.
Yeah. Yeah, they remind me of the pom-poms from Triforce Heroes, where people would spam those to kind of taunt you. It's like,
right.
But there's so many of them. It's not like just three or four.
Yeah. Whenever I go back to the Toad Shop, I spend basically all my coins on any unlocked stickers.
Yeah,
this is the first thing I buy.
They're so good.
Yeah, they're great.
Mm-hmm. And it's like every time that like someone passes the star space but doesn't have enough coins, just spam the congrats star.
Yeah.
The but why blooper is great as well.
Sometimes I've like when I've been, cause I actually will say this sounds crazy, but I have played several matches online with strangers,
mm-hmm.
and I. You'd have told me this before this game came out. Like, no, I would never do that. That sounds so boring.
Yeah.
Get a life, Xander. That sounds a little lame. You play with your friends. That's the whole point. The stickers make it worth it alone. It's so much fun. I was like laying in bed in handheld mode, like thinking, wow, I have not had this much fun playing Mario Party in years. Like this is great. And
yeah.
I'm not even talking to these people. Like, what's going on here? Am I crazy? But no, it's they're great, and like you said, they're very fun to taunt people, and it's funny how like we are able to communicate a message and a feeling just through like the way we tap stickers,
mm-hmm.
and the ones we pick. It's such a simple form of communication, but so much just gets across. It's very funny, and I could get on that voice chat if I wanted to, but I don't. So.
Yeah,
I'm very much looking forward to Friday.
Yeah, you're going down.
I don't know if you two plan on being part of the recurring cast, but I cannot think of a better time than a monthly stream of Mario Party, frankly.
Well,
so.
I plan to not only win, but to win all of them. So take that as it will.
I'm playing as Wario, so my point is just to be the greediest bastard.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. Good. Yeah. Speaking of the greed and the love and nostalgia of this game. I like that there are options when you start a party and they let you pick, like, do you want to do bonus stars? Do you want to do classic bonus stars?
Oh, yeah, the options. Those are great.
Which, thank God, because only the classic bonus stars are good.
I agree. It's like...
Okay, so that's not... The problem is that if you do the regular bonus stars, which is like... it sounds really good in theory, where it's like, here's a selection of like 12 possible bonus stars and we randomly pick from that. So you don't mm-hmm. know what you're getting till the end.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, that's how bonus stars should be. But there's only two of them.
I know. Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, fuck that.
I don't remember that ever being, it's always been three, right? You get the one with the most coins and the one with the most event spaces. And then what's the other one? The one who wins the most mini games.
Yeah.
So it's like that's a pretty well-established thing. And, you know, Mario Party, people always say, oh, yeah, you just play the games. It doesn't matter. They just randomly give out stars at the end. That's always been the joke. But it's like, for years, it was always those three specific things. They never really changed that.
Yeah, Mario Party is a game of skill.
Yeah, I agree. Like, those bonus stars, they added, like, a layer of strategy to it because you knew what they were going in. So it's like, okay, well, if I roll my dice and I'm at a fork in the road and I land on that event space, like, well, at least I'll get that point towards me, you know?
Right.
I mean, I'll be the one to say it. You guys have seen Zoom Zykes identifying...
Of course, I contributed to one of them. Yeah, he's great. Go watch Zoom Zykes' Mario Party series. He does 4-hour analysis videos breaking down the party mode for each game, every mini game, every board, every possible thing that could happen on the board, every item. He enlightened me to some strategic. And some people are listening to this right now and being like, "You guys have no life. Like, what is wrong with you?" But no, if you like this game and you like playing it with people, more importantly. Like, it can honestly enhance the experience to new levels of enjoyment. So yeah, go check him out. But yeah, I agree, the option stuff, really great. You love to see it. I wish that they did more with that, but like I said, I'm a greedy gamer. You know, what you're doing is great. You can't go lower than this bar again. Because
Xander, the greedy gamer Morningstar.
Yeah, Xander's greedy gala gamer.
Oh, I opened up a Zoom Zike video, and it's like, at the end of his Mario Party 5 one, he says, this was my first Mario Party game, and I feel myself age.
Yeah, that was my first one was 4, but I remember being in Best Buy with my mom, and 5 had just come out. My mom's like, don't you want the new one? And I said, well, I just don't want to be behind in the series, so I think I'll wait till my birthday in a month to get Mario Party 5.
My first Mario Party was 1.
Oh my
gosh. When the intro is like doing the recreation of the mini game of the, no, what's it called?
We're going on the party area. The pipe, yeah.
Yeah, around the pipe from the first game. And it's like, it plays a little bit of the first game's intro music. And I'm like, no, I can't get emotional at Mario Party.
That is so special. And you know, they show the pictures of the N64 game. Like, this was so not what I expect. Okay, you remastered the N64 boards. They look nice. This is fine. But like, they went above and beyond. They put fan service in this game, which is just wasn't expecting.
Well,
that.
There's the part when you're on the Mario Party 3 board, and he's like, it's gonna be a once in a lifetime opportunity or a once in a millennium.
He said the thing. That's one of those characters. It's like, I don't think that that character will ever show up again. I want him to, but I think the Mario Party style guide is given him and the moon and sun character from 6 and the little cube,
the dice block
character. I forget his name. I think they all got the boot, which is really even Toadsworth has gotten the boot, which is weird. But they've all been, you know, put in their own little Mario Party box and they're never seen from. But we know who they are, and you're right. When he said the millennium thing, that made me smile, because they care. It's cute.
Yeah, I'm extremely happy with this game. So
yeah, I agree.
Like, yeah, I wish it was a little more, but it's kind of the best Mario Party's been in a very, very long time.
Yeah,
so
8 came out in 2007, 2008, I want to say, because it was like during the Wii.
Yeah.
And I, after that, that was Hudson's last game. They'd already done DS. 8 was the last one. And then it switched to 9 and 10, and they did Island Tour, Star Rush, Super Mario Party. So yeah, I my opinion, this has been the best one since 2007.
We're probably not going to see MC Ballyhoo, aren't we?
No, you're probably not going to see. He's in that box with all the others. Unfortunately,
that's very unfortunate.
Him in his weird hat, who weirdly predates Cappy, but in my head canon exists from the Cap Kingdom. So because his hat has 2 eyes and talks just like Cappy. But
God, I love having Mario Party head canons.
I know. Again, this if there's a tag for this episode, it's you guys need to get lives. But it's fun. It's cool. Love it.
I just found this. This game has online leaderboards.
Yeah, for the mini games.
Oh my god.
Also, Matt, you have an advantage here, because I'm going to tell you this. There are achievements in the game, and 3 of them are like, get in the top 50,000, top 15,000, top 1,000 for a mini game. And as the game exists longer in the public, that's going to become harder and harder, because people are going to like cement themselves as being like the best at whatever mini game. So you got to play them fast, get those achievements, otherwise you might not ever get them, and you'll That's forever true. Have to yeah so sorry I'm sorry to say that, but if you're listening now, go check.
Yeah, the mini games also keep track of like your personal bests and stuff if you go through them, which is really nice.
Well, as it happens, I'm ranked 1073 in the world for Poke Pummel.
Really? I don't have my Switch near me. I should check, but you know what, I will I'll be sure to prep myself for Friday.
Who are you guys going to be playing as? You know, I do wonder if Wario has like a bigger hitbox, or like pushy penguins would be
so
a disadvantage.
Kong, yeah.
No, every character has the same hitbox.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Zoomzeit has confirmed this. They all have the same hitbox, even though you think Donkey Kong would be at a disadvantage.
Right.
But I'm playing as Luigi. And I imagine Matt's probably Peach or Daisy.
I'm probably going to go Daisy.
Okay, Daisy. Or Rosalina.
Who do you think Justin would play as? Probably Mario, right?
Yeah, probably Mario. Although I do think one thing that's actually kind of interesting is that Rosalina is in this game. Mm-hmm. It's just
no Pauline though.
No Pauline. That's expected. Unfortunately,
she's been in the Camelot games, right? Like,
She's been in the Camelot games, but she has not ever gotten into the other the parties. I think she needs like a professional invite or something. But I don't know.
She needs a better agent.
They've had some weird characters in Mario Party. They had Blooper, they had Hammer Bro, they had Spike was in 10. I think, was Diddy Kong in one of them? Pom Pom? That was in Super Mario Party, right? I don't know. I didn't really play it, but I thought I saw that in the trailer. Goomba was one of Monty Mole.
Diddy Kong was definitely in a Mario Party game.
Yeah, because I remember seeing him on a tricycle. But yeah, anyway, Rosalina is in the game, which is cool because, you know, she's a fan favorite character, but she was never in any of the N64 games and most of the GameCube games because she came out. She wasn't in 8 either. She was in none of the Hudson games. So it's kind of interesting that most of the content here, Rosalina has never existed in.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, I agree. That is not a complaint at all. It's like that's a cool thing. Rosalina in Horrorland. Weird.
Maybe someday we'll get the costumes back.
Yeah,
that would be great.
That's that thing where it's like they put some fan service in, but they didn't put the costumes. That's a bummer.
Well, they show you images of like the game being played on N64, and you can see the costumes. So
yeah, well, like okay, like for Horrorland, they'll give you flavor text to kind of we're going back to the headcanon of Mario Party. they'll say things like Toad will be like, long ago there was an evil wizard that like controlled the land, and like a hero stepped up and saved the world, and now that evil wizard is gone, but like ghosts are still here, so it's like we're living in the aftermath. And it's like okay, is that why no one's dressed up as a wizard? Is that why
Mario Party lore?
I'm pretty sure the point of Mario Party 2 is that they were all movie sets. I think that was the joke, but apparently we have to have lore, which is just chef's kiss.
Well, are there any final thoughts on Mario Party Superstars before we trash mouth each other on Friday?
I'm looking forward to it. I call dibs on Luigi.
I'm just astounded at how good the online is.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I actually am kind of afraid every time I get on because I don't want my... It's like I have a streak, you know? It's like, man, this has been so good. Like, what if I get on and it's just terrible? Like, I'm used to that kind of thing, you know? But it hasn't happened, and it's been out for almost a week now, so good stuff.
Like, I've had a couple rounds where I have a bad connection, but it's like, those are the exception.
Sure.
Yeah, and those are always possible depending on like where people live in the world or how good their internet is.
I can't like get mad the moment that it's bad, but like it's just it hasn't been consistently bad. Like you can tell when it's like just one person or like just the connection isn't good. But by and large, like it's been a lovely, lovely, relaxing experience. I did not think that Mario Party was the vacation I needed after Dr. Mario, but here I am.
Yeah, I guess we should talk a little bit about the minigames before we wrap up. I think the collection is awesome. I think every minigame hits really well for me, for the most part, except for that one where like the fruits are falling off of the tree and you have to hit a block to determine whether it's one or two.
That's the best minigame really? In the franchise.
No, it's
besides Booksquirmed.
Booksquirmed is fantastic.
Booksquirmed is probably the best one in the franchise.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's either Booksquirmed or Bumper Balls.
Yeah, they're just the most iconic.
Okay, Matt, I need to hear your argument for why... what's that fruit one called?
Is it like fruit?
I forget.
I'll look it up. I don't remember.
Because it's a vicious competitive game where you need to be like aware of your surroundings.
It's a math game, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No, there's like it's legit. You need to focus.
Honeycomb Havoc.
It's a game about being aware of exactly how many spaces are left, what the possibilities are, and trying to predict what your opponents are going to do. It's perfect.
Well, it's definitely more skill based than the Bowser equivalent. What is it called? Like Bowser's Big Blast?
Oh yeah, Bowser's Big Blast. Like you got to have that one. But
that one's just iconic. Even though it's a luck based game, I don't like luck based games. No one really does, but like that one is very iconic just because it's a giant Bowser balloon.
Oh, I love that one because just the feeling of tension is just it's palpable when you're like those 2 seconds feel like eternity.
It's one of the few mini games to get a sequel because there was another one in Mario Party 4 where they did it all in 3D. It was very cool. Well, not 3D. It was in 3D, but like higher model count, higher poly count. Excuse me. I'm gonna check my Mario Party card here because I've loaded up my Switch and it has you pick which mini games and games you have as your favorites. I'm curious. Whatever, we go around the horn real fast. What is everyone's card look like? Your favorite board, your favorite game, your favorite mini games.
I think I'm pretty sure I said my favorite game was
two. Right?
Yeah. Okay. And my favorite mini games, I would have had Bumper Balls, Book Squirmed, the fruit one. I forget what my fourth was.
I think Dungeon Duos. I remember you reading your card.
Duos is very good.
I've got Dungeon Duos on mine. I've also got Coney Island, Pushy Penguins, and Book Squirm.
Yeah, I love that they legitimately did get the best minigames.
Yeah, that was one of the issues I had with the top 100. I don't think we've mentioned that one at all, because this game again, just like what it should have been.
Yeah,
they had a lot of bad games in that, which was like, why really? Like, why'd you pick this one? Weird. But yeah, they. I took the feedback from Super Mario Party and the top 100, and then I turned it into this nostalgia fest. That's great. And I want to say that like if you've never played a Mario Party game, you might be like, well, I don't know if I'll enjoy it just because like I don't have any experience with any of these mini games or boards. Like I didn't play the N64 boards growing up. I played a lot of these mini games, but I'm having a blast with it. Like it doesn't matter if you didn't play these games in the past. Like the gameplay is what people love. I
feel like if you've never played Mario Party before, this is probably the best time to get in on it.
Yeah, this is exactly. Like now there's never been a better time to be a Mario Party fan.
But actually though,
for real, like I say that like with full sincerity, go pick up this game. It's great.
Oh, I'm so hopeful that they add more boards in DLC because I really want to keep playing this game. And that feels so weird to say because Mario Party for the longest time was like the game I would play maybe twice a year with friends and family whenever you're able to like wrangle up 4 people to play locally. But this is the kind of game that I keep coming back to even to play with randoms and then just spam stickers at them.
You can view other people's cards that you've played with. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's really cool. Actually, neat. I got the most expensive card.
Did you really?
Yeah, the premium one. It was like 999 coins.
Wow, that's awesome. Oh my gosh, it says I've been playing for 7 hours already. Holy cow.
Yeah, Mario Party, I will say like it's a board game, so it takes a really long time to play a satisfying session of this game, so like that's not changed.
Yeah. Have you guys played the 30 turns? Because that was one thing I was like, oh, they don't have 50 turns, that's gonna suck. But 30 turns is way longer than an hour and a half in both experiences I've had.
I played the 110 turn game with you, Xander, and that one was fun, but it's not satisfying.
Yeah. It's got to be at least 20 to be good, I think.
Right.
You need time for things to happen, you know? Yes. Some shakeups.
Yes. Yes. I think Mario Party is best when there are like at least 2 or 3 shakeups.
Mm-hmm.
And the default for online is 15, I believe. You can set it higher than that, but I don't know. Your mileage may vary in like finding groups.
There's also the option to add more turns.
There is.
That's true. Yeah, that's pretty great.
But you can't go past 30, which is a shame.
Is that true? That is unfortunate.
Oh, well, you know what? I guess we could test this on Friday, but I don't know if like if you were to pick like a 30 turn game to start with and then you get
just make like, a 50 turn game out of it.
Yeah, like every, because you can't add turns in the last turn. That's the one rule with it. But I don't know if you were to like be on turn 28 and then like add five more and then keep going. Could you have a forever Mario Party? Like, oh man, I doubt it. But I don't know. This game surprised me. Maybe you could. That'd be cool. I think that would be in the news. I feel like people, that would be like one of those, like, you can have a 50 turn game doing like this one simple trick. I feel like that article would have been out by now. But
oh yeah, you're right. I just checked there. It is only 30 turns as far as like the cap. That's unfortunate.
That's okay. Again, it says it takes 90 minutes to do a 30 minute turn, but I was doing one and it was pushing past 2 hours. And I was like, all right, I don't know if these estimates. And I think it's just because people take their times when they're looking at the board. Just fine. And thankfully, on the online mode, there's a counter, which can be kind of a stressful, but in a good way, because it's Mario Party. Mm. You can't like sit there too long and be idle or looking at your choices. Like, otherwise, it'll just, I don't know if it skips you or just makes you roll a dice block, but it can be kind of stressful in that way.
I think if you're playing with friends, there isn't the timer.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
So something to keep in account.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we'll talk more Mario Party this Friday, the day of this podcast release date. So join us for that. Mario Party monthly Twitch stream at twitch.tv/Nintendo World Report.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a great time. I'll get some drinks for myself. We'll be there talking. I hope people are able to join us. I think it's going to be a fun time. And you know, it's great because it's going to be a series. It's something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a bad experience, then it's
maybe the next
one
will be good. Or worse.
Yeah. But I think in a weird way, I look forward to bad experiences when it comes to Mario Party.
That explains Dr. Mario World.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say.
Is that called being a masochist? Is that...
Xander, you're finding something else about yourself.
It's that today? Or it's Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. Dr. Mario taught me a lot about myself. And
Which Stockholm Syndrome isn't real, by the way. Stockholm Syndrome is only real when it's about Mario products.
Yeah, that's actually a fact. Yeah, I can attest to that after spending triple digits with a certain mobile game.
Well, I think that wraps up this episode. If you're interested, you can follow us on Twitter at ConnectivityNWR on Twitter. You can also send an email at connectivity@NintendoWorldReport.com. And next week, Neil and John should be back from whatever they're doing this week. To talk about something tangentially Nintendo related, or maybe something just Xbox related. Who knows?
Or Star Wars.
Or Neil will talk about sports and John will scribble doodles. Something to that effect will probably happen next week. But until then, goodbye.
Farewell.
See you later.
This was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.